This is the KPFK Outreach, KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, California Outreach Monthly Committee meeting. Today is December 26th, Sunday, 2021. We started at 11:30. Sadly, we missed starting the recording. This is Ballot DeSoto, the chair. We are joined by Michael Heiss, Sue Cohen Johnson, Marco Iser, Jose Benavides, staff at KPFK, and caller 5964 John from California, and Bruce Grief from WBAI KPF in New York City. Thank you. Go ahead, Jose Benavides.
I was just saying that I agree with what Bruce said, and that in fact we do need programming that's able to open up the phone lines. Because, and we're not just saying this just because we like that. No, it's a fact. Social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, anybody that has the skill and that is able to, you know, blindly just speak to callers and either debate or communicate or speak with or have a just conversation with back and forth is a huge, huge deal. That's the biggest outreach you could probably do. We used to have someone like that, and regardless of what people think, the guy was great, and he caused a lot of controversy, and sometimes controversy is good. But, you know, we had, and I know because I was his producer, and I would open up the phone lines, and we had hundreds and hundreds, more call-ins than any other show, as a matter of fact. Now, that's one thing. So we do need to do that as soon as possible. But it can't just be with any programmer. That's the thing. It can't just be a random programmer. It takes skill, and it has to be the right programmer that knows how to do that. That's one comment. The other one is a way to for outreach is our social media and our on our website. But all of the stuff we have it seems like it was created on a Windows 98 computer back in 1996. We can't. We have to improve our social media. We have to improve our website. We're living in modern times now. There's also no video component to that. We have the capability and we have the skills. But there's blocks everywhere where we can't do this. This is what's going to change KPFK forever. We start adding a video component to it. We start bringing in hosts that are able to go off and have a communication with the audience one by one. That's a great, great start. We don't need newspapers. We don't need flyers. I'm sorry to say that. We don't. That's 1950. We need to do this the way people do it now. If not, we're just going to be that old station, that old-timey station that nobody listens to but a handful of, cult following. We need to break away from that. We need to get with the times. That's just my opinion. Those are just my comments.
Okay. Okay. Anything else before we go on?
That's it.
Okay. I kind of tend to disagree regarding the, and I remember the program host that you were referring to. Bruce has his hand up, but I wanted to mention that the more programs that can open up their airwaves to hear from the listeners is the way to go immediately. It does not take a genius to figure that one out. However, I agree with you. It does require understanding of the handling management of the telephone lines. I fully agree with that. But we have got to open up the airwaves because the station has been on major lockdown now for over, it's going on 4.5 years, by the way. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
I just want to suggest something to Jose and you, Bella, and maybe Michael, if he wants to participate. When you do a call-in show, you want to target a demographic that has numbers and money. So here in New York, we have a fantastic education program called Talk Out of School, and Leonie Hempson is advocating for smaller class sizes, and it's a fantastic show. But, you know, the show is her basically interviewing really smart people who work in the Department of Education or educational consultants or whatever. But so it's policy. It's policy, and there's no calling. What you want to do is a show where it's teachers Teachers Talk to Teachers. And it's a call-in show for teachers run by a teacher who's talking about what's going, you know, teachers call in talking about what's going on in their school in Oakland, what the superintendent, excuse me, what the superintendent is up to, what the principal is up to. And yes, you do need somebody who can handle, you know, the crank calls and sort of wind them down and say, okay, you know, time, we got a lot of people on the line, yada, 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 but it's not that hard. But if you do Teachers Talk to Teachers, I will bet you every teacher in the Los Angeles area will be listening because they want to hear what the other teachers are saying that doesn't get on the news. And ditto for Nurses Talk to Nurses. I mean, you guys have a huge 14,000 nurses that just went out on strike and yada, yada, yada. And that's the kind of show. So you want to target a demographic that has numbers and has money. And both of those people have money. I mean, $10 a month for them is not a problem. And I think that would be a big hit. And I will send you guys maybe like four or five of the call-in shows here in New York that do very well. And you can listen to them. And they're really quite active. I mean, basically, what most of them do, they bring a guest on. It'll do like maybe 15 or 20 minutes to get the pot boiling. And then bang, you know, it's like everybody calls in. There's one called Good Morning Nueva York, and he's fantastic. He just does it 6 o'clock in the morning every Monday to Friday. He does 6 o'clock, and he's got a lot of people to call in. That's it. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bruce, and that is so fantastic. Very good.
Margo to the queue, please.
Hold on, Margo. Before you is, okay, go ahead, Margo. Then we go to Michael Heiss.
No, you can add. You can add. He was first, so you can add me to the list, and I'll just be.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I feel like we're arguing over a check. So I've spoken before. I want to go back to one or two things, and I totally agree that we need to step up our. Let me show my face here, ugly as it may be. We need to step up our social media presence. There is a KPFK Instagram account, and there was actually one post promoting some program within the last 24 hours. Who's in charge of it? Who supervises it? Because it can get out of hand. But on the flip side, who makes certain that there's content there? Along the same lines, I mean, it's not my thing, but I'm 72 for crying out loud. TikTok is, you know, we talk about trying to expand the listenership into a younger audience. Clearly, we have creative people who can do something that fits in the milieu of TikTok. I sent out an email, and again, I apologize, it was late. It was mostly in response to the financial things that Bella sent out. Business cards, somebody mentioned. Maybe I'm a little squeamish, but some informational card, yes. And not to just be a jerk about it, but if it has someone's name on it. I was on the board of a trade association a few years ago, and we said, why can't we have business cards? And the lawyer for a nonprofit trade association said, because they're not employees. So I just want to make sure that anything that's handed out doesn't imply that the person handing them out has any legal affiliation with the station, worth checking for what it's worth. Something that I know was done in the past, and you know, times are different, media sponsorship. If we're the media sponsor of some event and the trade out is we give them promotion on our air and our logo, KPFK's logo, appears on the other print and online promotional announcements concerning some appropriate relevant event, that spreads the exposure for the branding. Branding, branding, branding. That's what it's all about. In terms of events, and perhaps in line with something where we could be the media sponsorship, perhaps, and outdoors, so we don't get in the face of COVID, maybe there's some Earth Day event that we can bond up with where somebody else is doing the work and we ride along as a participant, but get the name out and establish a presence where people from the station can be there and spread the word and, you know, expose what we do to the general public.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Great. Absolutely. All right. I wanted to respond to you, Michael Heiss, regarding the cards. The cards have no names, and the cards have general information, and they're, yeah, and they look good. They're black and white, red and black, and I will be, I have copies of back and front, both English and Spanish.
Well, that's great. I'm just overly cautious. That's all.
Yeah, and I will be sending the template to Bruce to see what how he can help out. That is so fantastic that he has offered to do that. Bruce, I'm going to go. I see your hand up again. Margo, go ahead. Margo, you need to unmute.
Hello. Okay. Thank you, Bruce. That's a real mensch, and that's a great gift to Pacifica and KPFK. However, as far as listener-sponsored donors, commercial ones, I heard on KUSC that you can become a commercial. They have it where they make a deliberate thing that if you become a member and you're a business, we will just say thank you or announce your name over the airwaves as a and your name gets mentioned. So that's one possibility of looking into what they do, and I'm sure they're within the boundaries. And I just appreciate that the idea of having a kind of an instructional manual or instructional workshop for this call for programmers who may not be as experienced with calls in. And I want to let people know that whoever is talking about the educational, well, there's a man named John Cromshaw, and he does his educational moments. And this time he had a repeat program. But he interviews people in the educational field about all these kind of different topics. Sometimes he just has a minute, little short, brief ones. This time he had a whole hour program, a repeat, unannounced, of course. But the point was, we already have the resources that we can work with here at KPFK, and we need to restore some of those things that have been done in the past and educate. Because yesterday I called into Earl Afari's program because it was called in, and I didn't know they were talking to me when usually he will say, this is like Margo, blah, blah, and she's, hello, Margo, and I would hear it on the air, but he didn't say my name because it was a person, they didn't have all their staff there. So if we give basic instructional like guidelines to people who may not regularly do calls in, they could be learning it here. And some people do ramble on and on and on and only leave a small minute in the end of the show for a few calls. But I think if you could say, okay, you leave at least 45 minutes for calls or something like that, we can make it happen very easily. It is a wonderful form of outreach. And now as far as TikTok and other stuff like that, I have absolutely no idea or interest in using those, but I do Facebook, and I find a lot of things like that. I have actually interacted with people on Facebook. YouTube, I've never interacted, because they have commercials and ads in their things. I do watch dancing, and I heard some wonderful music. But there's others. One of the several of the shows that are on other networks, other things, they always say they're on Free Speech TV, and I'm wondering if KPFK has ever looked into that as a place. Because a bunch of the programs that do national and other, they go all over the world and country, and then they say Free Speech TV. So maybe that's a venue that could be really open to KPFK. Not that I've ever touched it or looked at it. So I think, you know, using a resource and finding out what people are doing, that you can learn from them what might work, and they could teach other people about how to do that. We don't necessarily have to we don't have to say that everybody has to do this. We could have one big one for KPFK and then decide on that, but each programmer could maybe learn to do how to do calls in better, and that would be very important to make it a real open thing, I think. So thank you, that's outreach, and I appreciate that. And I dropped my phone, so I have to stay real calm today because too many glitches are happening, so let's just stay real calm. And it's Boxing Day, so treat your servants well. Bye-bye. I better put mute again.
Okay, Margo, I know you're going to be putting on your boxing gloves because you're going boxing later. Thank you for all of that. Absolutely. A short, sweet, very brief manual specifically to instruct, to educate new and old programmers how to manage the lines and manage the public in and out, you know, when they're calling in. How to do it is very important. That would be a good little manual. It doesn't have to be long, it has to be brief. So people understand. It should be posted at the studios so people see it right away. The other thing is that I wanted to ask, let's see, the person that identified himself as John from a telephone number ending in 5964. Ken, do you have any comments?
No comments.
Okay. And I have someone that ends 9999. Do you want to identify yourself?
Yeah, that's Bruce.
Bruce, you're showing up twice. I was wondering, that looked familiar. Okay, I wanted to address in the chat what Michael said. In the broadcast, in the broader broadcast world, news is, though perhaps not so much recently, is always a loss leader. The upside is that it exposes the outlet to the public, and that is what we need to bring the station to the attention of listeners, who will hopefully then become members. I could not agree more. Because, and then Sue Cohen said earlier that the news department never really made any money. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is not about making money all the time. The issue is outreach. And that is where the membership derives from. And outreach is what motivates membership. Outreach is what motivates and activates membership. Also around the clock to explain to the members, to the listeners, about the 58 seconds to the hour that KPFK survives with your membership, annual membership. $25, and here is the value, and you become an owner of your community non-commercial radio. And I wanted to point this out to Margo again. While you outreach, please, we must always say non-commercial. This is what makes us unique. This is why we need their support, and this is why they need to support us. Why? Because we are not controlled by commercials.
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to go back. Hold on, please, Michael. Yes, I wanted to go back to Michael regarding the community event sponsorship. When we were up and up, we had all kinds of community event sponsorships out in the community. The rule, there is a written rule, in case you do not know, is that KPFK is given 5 minutes to promote itself at any given open event, because it's a give and take. We promote them on air, we promote their event, and they give us time if we have a table or we have the microphone at an event. So that's how it works. Okay, go ahead. Have your hand up. Sue?
Oh, yeah. I just don't want to leave out what I said, that news doesn't make money, but it's always loved. It's always loved, and it's popular, and people, when they make a list of their favorite shows, news is always up there, but they just don't donate to it. I don't know. They think it's supported by the station, so they don't need to donate to it, maybe. I don't know if that's the reason, but it's always loved and popular.
Of course. Yeah.
I said that part too. Don't leave out the other part. Thank you.
You're right. I left that out. That is always left. Why? Because we need to get our news department back in order. There is no radio station without a news department. I've never heard that before. This station began really going down in the tubes when the programming for our news department was disseminated. I mean, this is just unbelievable. So, absolutely. And we have a number of programs on the grid that do not compete, cannot possibly compete with some others that do bring some money. But we cannot expect that. They cannot be equated on the same scale. It's about outreaching. It's about representing the different communities, the different voices, diversity of viewpoint. That's what we need. And I wanted to go back to Margo when she spoke about, was it Earl Farrakhan? She did mention him, but there was something else. I did not write a note on it. Okay, go ahead, Bruce. I'll come back to it. Because we got to be careful. I was going back to Margo. Margo, you spoke of John Crumshaw. I want you to know a little bit of background. John Crumshaw is great in the area that he concentrates on. But I know for a fact that John Crumshaw does not shake the tree of LAUSD because he has had a comfortable relationship with them for a very long time. He's a former teacher. And when you are covering LAUSD, the nurses union, all of this, unions in general, you have got to be able to be as radical as possible in your coverage, who you bring on air, what issues to expose. And he's very careful, and you cannot be too careful when there's a lot going on. I remember distinctly I was working on the elections of people within LAUSD, and not LAUSD, at UTLA, the teachers union. And these people were regarded as radical because they were complaining and exposing the corruption at UTLA. And these people were never allowed to come on air with John Crumshaw. Okay? So there you go. Bruce, you have your hand up, and I just admitted somebody else. Phone number that ends, let's see. Oh, Oye Kunle Oyeyipo. Okay, he's coming on with audio. Go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce.
I just want to mention for Jose and maybe some of the other people, there's actually a device called a Mevo, M-E-V-O, which has a little camera and a mic, and it sits there facing your guests, and it lets you live stream to Facebook and broadcast at the same time. And one of the affiliate stations in North Carolina, I think, is using it, and it's really quite effective. It's kind of like a one-button solution, and you don't have to do any programming, you plug it in and away you go. There's another one called the OWL, O-W-L, which has kind of like four mics in a circle around the unit. So, I mean, there's hardware out there now that would let you do kind of simultaneous live YouTube and live Facebook and then over the air, and you don't have to do any kind of like complicated work. The other thing, now totally changed subject, I saw a really good webinar about fundraising at a college, and the guy, the general manager there, goes back 5 years. Now, KBFK had 20,000 listeners, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. I forget whatever the number is. I'm just saying, those membership lists are still floating around somewhere. So if you want to do outreach, I would start calling the people who were members, you know, 3-4 years ago and drop their membership, and not just kind of boldly ask them, you know, to rescribe, but actually have a conversation and say, well, what did you like about the station? What didn't you like about the station? Why did you stop driving? I mean, there's nothing if you have a retail store, it's a lot easier to recapture or reinvigorate a customer who hasn't come by in a while than to go out and find a whole new one from scratch. And then the other thing that I would add to that is you need to say thank you. I know BAI actually gets on the air sometimes and names people who contributed or become sustainers, and it's a big thing, but I don't think we send thank you notes either. You know, if somebody joins or subscribes, you know, we need to send a thank you note and ask them, you know, what do you want from us, the station, yada, yada, yada. There's no stewardship. That's the word that they use. In other words, you steward your customers. You don't just come around and ask them for money every once in a blue moon. That's it, I'm done.
Thank you, Bruce, because the station already began doing this over 2 weeks ago, calling on expired, lapsed members, and this is going on with the new equipment, new software on the phones. However, it cannot be done remotely, and this is being conducted through the fundraising committee with Janine Ron, Michael Novick, and others. However, the problem is that only two or three people can be doing this at the same time because of the COVID protocol at the station. And it can only be done physically at the station. Otherwise, many people could be doing this simultaneously. They can be bonded to make sure that the membership list is not abused, that is secured. And again, you know, this is what is being done right now. I wanted to, I like the image that Michael Heiss just put up. Hold on one moment. And I wanted to give the floor to Oyeyipo. Hello, Oyeyipo, how are you? Ask to unmute.
Hi, I'm currently driving right now. How you doing?
Oh, okay.
I'm listening, but I'm not in a position to make comments right now.
Okay, well, it's great having you with us. Thank you so much. Be safe.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, great. You can jump in. You can raise your hand if you are on the phone. You go to star 9, and that raises your hand. If you are on the computer, you go to the reactions icon at the bottom of the screen and raise your hand. I just admitted another person.
People, I'm back. My phone died. Sorry.
Oh, Jose Benavides is back with us, and I wanted him to hear Bruce. Bruce, do you mind repeating what you said regarding the equipment? I was taking some notes, but I was doing other stuff too. Jose is back with us.
All right, I'll email it to you also, but there's a device called Amiibo, which lets you do Facebook Live and YouTube Live and then broadcast over the air at the same time. One of the affiliate stations, I think in South Carolina, is using it very successfully. And basically, it's a little, kind of like a little,
I'm familiar with it.
Oh,
yeah,
you're not?
I'm familiar. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I mean, there's another one called the Owl, which it doesn't, I don't think it has video, it's just audio, but, you know, it's kind of like a one-button solution if you don't want to screw around with trying to, you know, get software and hardware to work together. These things are, you can buy them for $400 and away you go. And, you know, that's what, and let me just say, when I was talking about, you know, the old listeners who went away, I'm talking about the really old listeners. I think Janine and Michael are working with the expired listeners that are in the Allegiance database. I'm talking about people who haven't been a member for maybe 2-3 years. And that kind of list, you can make a master list and then make sure you don't have any people in the list that Janine and Michael are going to call, and then segment it up and give out, you know, 50 numbers to this person, 50 numbers to that person, and you get the response back. So they can be just using their cell phone at home. That's it, I'm done.
Yes, I agree with you, but I would go even further, Bruce. This is Bella. I would go even further. We need to tap into the older master list of older memberships, all the members.
That's what I'm talking about. The old, okay. The old list. That
okay.
Not non-allegiance list. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
May I respond?
Yes. Go ahead, Jose.
I agree with him. Yeah, I think we can do all this. The
the cool thing about the executive director, I want to say, maybe 2 years ago, purchased a unit called the Black Magic, I forgot the site, the other name, but it's the brand is by Black Magic, and we have it at KPFK. What it is, it's a switcher. All we need for the switcher is cameras. But essentially, what the switcher does is, if we had two cameras, we install it, and you could literally switch between cameras. For those of you that know, when you see a video of two people speaking, you click on one camera when one person speaking, and then you click on the other, and it'll go back and forth. So you could set that up inside Master Control to where the board operator he's listening as well, and he's able to press either one camera one or camera two. So that unit alone costs probably around $450, and it's a pretty amazing little unit. That back in the days, it would have costed you, I don't know, $30,000. Now, with all the technology, this thing, this unit here costs us around $450. But we lack the cameras for it. And I've been wanting to install it in Master Control. I've been wanting to do this, but the years are passing by because all the craziness within, KPFK and the staff and the control and all that we haven't installed it. But I possess that unit still in our office. And I'm hoping that Mikkel will actually help us maybe go over an hour or two on our fund drive and purchase a couple of cameras that, wouldn't even be that much money. If we had that, and if we set that up in Master Control, and we locked up the cameras when we were done, we could literally start putting these videos directly to YouTube every day. Because that's what you need, right? If you're going to start creating a following on social media and YouTube, you need to post things daily. That's why. Because you post, But anyway, that's my comment. We have that. We have that unit.
Yeah, I'm not making a pitch for the Mevo, but actually, it will detect who's talking and put that video up on YouTube Live, or it can have a split screen and it'll just show both people.
I agree with you. That's a really cool unit. Yeah.
And that's like $400 for on eBay. You get last year's model for maybe like $300 or something like that. And then there's probably other units out there to say the nice thing about this arrangement of Blackmagic or anything like that is it's automatic. You don't have to go back and take the MP3, convert it to an MP4, load it up to YouTube. At the end of the show, you're done, and it's already on YouTube.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, this is all great stuff. So we have parts of the equipment, we just need the two cameras. So we definitely can outreach specifically targeting this product so that we can develop and increase our social media presence. And this would be a great value to KPFK, to our programming, to our outreach. And then I'm taking some notes. One moment, please. Okay, so I see, Jose, do you have your hand up again?
I do, just to answer, because I read the Sue Cohen's comment in the chat, and I want to just move on regarding Sonali Kahatka's gear. So Sonali Kahatka, a few years ago, and Alan Minsky, I don't know how many years, maybe 8 years ago or 9, purchased... They raised money to purchase a couple of cameras and a computer with a program called the TriCaster. Now, many things happened. We lost the cameras during the during one administration. I forgot, there was too many volunteers coming in, and those cameras disappeared. But even at this point, those cameras would be considered old. But the TriCaster software is still there. We still have the TriCaster software. When Aniel was in management, I requested that he remove it from the studio upstairs and put it in his office because anybody could steal that. And he did. So I believe that the TriCaster software is still in Miguel Calcada's office now. But the problem with the TriCaster now, we're so advanced now. Like Bruce was saying, you don't necessarily need the TriCaster anymore because that's... a lot of engineering to install the it's an actual computer, and which requires another big screen and a monitor, and requires high-tech installation with what's called BNC cables. And I don't see anybody at KPFK installing that. And even if you install that, it would take a more expensive camera that nowadays, as Bruce and others probably have seen, you can buy GoPros for like $400 now. Amazing. So that's just your answer to your question to what happened. And I managed to save a few things, and they're still in my office, but the two important parts, one of the cameras was damaged, because a volunteer took it and dropped it, and the other ones just sort of disappeared. And by the way, we do have a Mevo in stock, but it's the old Mevos, Bruce, the cylinder type Mevos, that it just doesn't really connect anymore. It's not, I guess it's you know, functionally obsolescent now.
Okay, and I remember when Sonali was trying to put that together, bring funds in. In the finance committee, I was objecting to it because she was raising funds. It was over $60,000 she was trying to raise for the video project, while KPFK was trying to raise funds as well. And I saw that as a major conflict. However, funds were raised and for that project, and they were able to purchase that equipment. But that equipment was used for a very short time. The reason why I objected then, when Sean Heitkamper was the interim general manager in, I think it's 13, 14, when the reason being is that the funds that she wanted to raise, she also wanted them so she could take her show on the road, segment on the road. And this is what I was vehemently against. And she pursued and pursued and pursued. She then dropped it for a while, and she finally decided to change the name. Okay, I see Sue Cohen, and then, hold on, Sue, I see Margo. Go ahead, Margo Iser.
All right, first of all, it's important to do the thing about the finances and the equipment, and I think it is a good idea maybe for people to be able to take their programs on the road, and that's in the separate issue. However, if we want to be getting people to be attracted to our station as a non-commercial station, then we've got to get a program director or someone in charge of the programming scheduling and the content of the in the station breaks to not have them be like commercial stations and interrupt well-produced coherent programs with a dangly commercial for, oh, you got to raise money and give your car. No, that is totally obstructive, and I don't know how we control that, but it seems like a very well-regulated program director who understands that this is not a commercial station, and according to the FCC, it's okay to just say whatever time frames there are, whatever number of minutes it is, this is, you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, period. That's all you really have to say. Or if you want to add the rest of the stations, that's fine. But to interrupt a beautiful, wonderful program like I heard a couple of times during the weekend of the music with a completely unrelated commercial for another program or blah, 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 is really bad in content-wise. People are going to go, ooh, why would I listen to this one? It's just like a commercial station. So that we need to do, have control over a good program director who understands, and that's one thing. Then the thing, I have another point, but I'm not sure I can remember it because I got another thing I had to deal with while I was listening to you. So appreciate that we keep focused on programming, not programming, but outreaching, which includes making the programming attractive to people that's different than the other stations, and that makes it a unique thing. And I think there are many ways to do that, and we should be creatively looking at how we can do that. And it's good to share the ideas and to find ways to activate them. So thank you, and I'll mute again.
Thank you very much, Margo. I so agree with you.
Let me just add one more thing. I wanted to reiterate again what was said about it is not, absolutely not, completely unfair to judge the individual programs by how much money they raise, because they are not all on the air at the same amount of time or at the same amount of hours. And that was one thing that was really bad about the previous program director, and now the first, the one that was just recently gone. This is absolutely totally ridiculous, because our station is supposed to give the voice to the voiceless, and sometimes the voiceless don't have a lot of money, or they just, like, their program has 1 hour, half an hour, you know, 9, 8, 6:30 in the morning, or it's ridiculous, and or 5:30, and that is why our station has to say we include all these people regardless of whether they raise money or not. But we have to give that, right. The funding goes to everything, to give the voice to the different programmers and different people that have different points of view and things like that. And that's a really important thing. And it is a bad thing when they started using the amount of money raised by individual programmers as the criteria for judging the program's value. And that is absolutely unconscionable. And especially when they play repeats, unannounced repeats, and then they're asking for money. And they do name names sometimes. But the point is, I made it a point to say, well, if there's a matching fund on a program, then that's a repeat. Does that same person who offered the matching fund have to match it again? And I think I stopped that, but it's unconscionable. And, oh, and there's some little blurbs that aren't out of date. So we need a real control over the way the contents of the program, the way the schedule is presented, because there's still an announcement about the bylaws. And the bylaws are completely obliterated. They're not there anymore. And they're still on at like 6 o'clock in the morning, or somebody comes out, oh, you got to have time to go to the website for the bylaws. It's like, what? So we need control over the scheduling of the programs and of the, you know, because that would be attractive to people if they know they can tune in and it's up to date and it's going to be honest and it's going to be current and it's going to give them a chance, you know, to be part of it, and it's going to be relevant. Not, oh, this program's on 5 days a week and it raises thousands of dollars, but we have this wonderful anti-war. I keep using that as an example. And it's very current and up to date. And it's only on a half an hour on a Sunday morning. That's ridiculous. Oh, they preempted it today. So that's another problem. So, you know, that they preempted Richard Wolf today too. So that's not good. I mean, he could. And I wanted to say, I was talking to him for one other program. On Friday, Michael Slate had a funny program. He had funny programming, and he should be commended for that. And again, he's a programmer who needs calls in because he has some issues that people want to discuss. But it was a funny program, so I suggest that people listen to it, because he showed a whole different character side to himself. And Brad Friedman put on a drama. He's an actor too. And so there's some wonderful talent that we have on our airways that needs to be promoted and show people how much versatility there is in the people who can present pertinent topics, but they can do it in creative, fun ways, and that's an attraction too. And also, I always hear denigration of the Spanish language programming, blah, 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 blah. There needs to be a factual financial analysis of how much money the Spanish language programming brings in, and integrate that into the way that it shows that it really does community outreach and it does bring in money, but not that money has to be the criteria for judging the programs, because that's completely opposite of the KPFK Pacifica thing. It's supposed to be different. And so you provide money when you donate to let these other programs get on the air that provide a whole different point of view. Thank you. And okay. I hope I made it coherent so you understand. Okay.
Thank you, Margo. All very important points. Yeah. And I want to just add to that. The Spanish language programming for many years saw it necessary to go out into the community and fundraise with different events, community events outside of the station. Because of the ongoing preemptions, because of the lack of respect, because of the lack of technical support, all of that good stuff. And this has been historic. However, 2-3 years ago, a policy was made that the Spanish language programming was not to do any more community sponsor events. And they were doing this for a long, long time. So Sue Cohen had a piece here about community event sponsorship. You know, we have always been a community event sponsorship station. There is no mistake about that, and there's no mystery about that. However, when it comes to commercial promotion is where we cannot enter into. So we used to have the community calendar would promote the various community events that were coming up and also identify the community station sponsorships so that we would explain on air, this is a mutual sponsorship. We are doing this because blah, blah, blah. This is our common goal. We invite you and you know, and this there's a way of doing that. So I explained earlier that in that case, the station is provided with specific time, like 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes to promote the station while at the physical event. Also space for a table. So this is all part of the outreach protocol. Okay. All right. There was something else here that how you announce it on the air is crucial, is everything. I so agree with you, Sue Cohen. Absolutely.
Even if you have a show and maybe it's a music show or maybe, I don't know, any business, you can say at the end of the show very carefully and don't let them put their own soundbite on there because it's just going to sound like an ad, and it is an ad. But you can say if you're interested in the material that you just heard on this show, you also might be interested in so-and-so business and their phone number or their email is so-and-so, and that might add to your knowledge on this topic. And just cut it off short and don't advertise. Taking notes, but I didn't get everything anyway.
Okay, thank you. Let me respond to that. Is that the station used to also be able to, like I mentioned earlier, have a community calendar event. And this is where the sponsorships would be listed. Also, and Sue, you will recall this, the station, when it was hopping, many community cafes, restaurants would donate so much food, so much resource in, you know, material and sustenance to the volunteers for the phone rooms. You remember that. Every single one of those stores, shops, would be announced and promoted on air. They are supporting us. Let's support them. Just like the membership card that was created, which I was instrumental in getting that done with Terry in 2005. It would list also some of those shops, restaurants, bookstores, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so yeah, we're speaking of sponsorship. We are not speaking about commercials. And yes, you have to be very careful. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, our time right now is 1:04. We go through 1:30. So at 1:30, we are going to cut it off. I think we've had a good, jolly meeting, considering that is the day after Christmas. I'm actually shocked regarding outreach. And this has not happened because the general manager left. And so the controversy was whether he was coming back on the 21st, the 22nd, or at the end of the month. But the general manager apparently is back in LA. Because this is the holidays, it is very difficult to do any of this at this time. So it doesn't look like seriously that we can, in earnest, begin going out into the community until the beginning of the year. And then what I'm proposing is that we gear up to start going out to the events starting in January. Jonathan Markowitz has been trying to put down together a proposal for a YouTube simulcast across the network so that each station does not control the processing of the YouTube video of a national performance, high-tech, you know, high-quality performance, well-produced of artists so that we can bring funds to the Pacifica Foundation. Just for your information, Pacifica.org has a site attached to it. So when you go to Pacifica.org, where you see you can donate here, when you go there, you can make your private donations there to the Pacifica Foundation. It does not go directly to any station, okay? So bear that in mind as well, because KPFK has not been able to pay the national office for at least, we're going on 3 years on and off, on and off. And so we are in debt for quite a number of months. And this affects how much the national office can do for KPFK and other stations. And it has helped us many times with payroll, many other issues. That's what the national office does. It manages the top area, the big ticket items for the foundation. I see Oyeyipo. Go ahead, Oyeyipo. Ask to unmute. He has his hand up.
Hi. I was trying to see what criteria the community outreach events that we will participate in, how those are judged. How do we know what community events and what kind of impact those community events would have on the overall listener enlistment at KPFK.
Okay. Is that your question, or do you have any more comments?
I also had another comment as far as what we're focusing in on. I came in a little late. I had a couple of notes as far as the outreach strategy, but I see most of it got covered based on programming, the medium, but the target audience is another thing that I would like to be aware of, exactly how we're packaging this content for a new type of audience. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Oh, great observations and comments and questions. I just took some notes. And so let me respond the best way I can. So yes, the way in, you know, I have explained that the station has been on major lockdown for maybe perhaps over 4 years. This is a number of political issues that I am not going to go into now. And then when COVID hit, that was also used part of that lockdown premise. So we need to open up our station again. We need to have volunteers back at the station again. The way that it has been measured when we go out into the community is that many of the people that we speak to, we cannot really keep tabs on, but we normally have sign-in sheets. And those sign-in sheets are sheets that then are submitted to the station for follow-up. And then that is how the membership department increases its membership. That is another way, right? They can also do it through the website. They can call in. They can donate over the phone. But when we go out into the community, those sign-in sheets are then turned in with as much information as possible. When I created them a long time ago with a clipboard, they get turned over to the membership department. They follow up, right? So they're the ones to give a report. Okay, out of all these people, what is the temperature? What is the gate? Okay. The other thing is that I also created a mobile take-in sheet for credit cards so that when you're out and about, you can take credit card information or debit card so that then that information then gets immediately submitted to membership immediately if they want to become a member, right? $25 a year is it's not a huge amount. Most people can afford that. This sheet was created when former GM Leslie Radford was in place, and she liked it a lot. When she was about to start using it out in the community, she was replaced. And, you know, a lot of stuff happened. Again, political stuff. But I did share it with Aniel Sufields. He liked it as well. And I don't know if he ever got to use it, but I have the template I created in Photoshop and InDesign. Okay, the other thing is that regarding packaging, we are not rebranding Pacific at KPFK. We are not rebranding our mission. What we need is, as you said, repackaging. What we need to do is to really target. And before you came on, Bruce Grieve was offering example, parallel example in WBAI. We need to open up the programs on air. All the programmers used to open up their airwaves to hear from the listeners. Listening to them, right? This is how you bring in the listeners. This is how they would become members. The station enjoyed over 44,000 members, okay? This is going back years ago. But as of 2009, things began declining, and I'm not going to go through that trajectory at this time. The way to open up, we need to open up, and this GM has been explained that as well. And he, in fact, agrees that no program should be preempted. So that is a major step towards what Margo Iser was identifying earlier, and I said earlier, that no program should be equated across the board equally, because our grid has to be representative of our community, of our signal area. Therefore, not every program can be judged on the same scale. And in the past, you know, the past years, we've had many repetitive programming, and those people bring in money. Why? Because they're heard over and over and over again. And so it's a double-edged sword. It has turned away many people. We have lost many, many memberships. And it has brought in some immediate funding. When these people left, we are being accused that they were pushed out and that we have lost a lot of money. No, we have to recreate our programming grid and go back to where we were when we were able to raise over $1 million just 3 years, three times a year. We would have fundraisers three times a year for merely 2 weeks or a little bit more. That was it. And we would raise over $1 million sometimes. We used to have parties celebrating. Membership cards. We used to have membership cards that would honor our members. There's a lot of stuff that used to happen. We would have a community event calendar where we would promote the sponsorships, you know, mutual interested sponsorships. So there's a lot of that. Before you came on, we were talking about increasing and really recreating our social media presence through video. We need to be able to, in real time, convert audio to video. And the conversation was about the equipment that we have that is old, some of the parts of the equipment that we have, but we need extra cameras. All of that conversation was going on, I believe, before you came in. I'm not sure if you heard it. So there was a lot of good suggestions today. And I would love for you, Oye Yipo, to become part and parcel of the outreach committee, because next year, you know, we are in the season that where very little can be done at the end of the year. So the general manager was away for a while. He has come back to LA, I understand. So the beginning of the year is when we really need to start going out into the community events and really start outreaching again. We did that at the Northeast Christmas Parade. Did you have your hand up again?
No.
Okay, then thank you, Oye Yipo. I hope I was able to address some of that stuff. And Margo, you have your hand up?
Yes, your event was in El Sereno Highland Park.
That's right, right north of El Sereno Highland Park. Thank you.
Let me make a point about programmers and the implications that some of them have made that they imply, and somehow it carried out, that the only time you can donate is during the fund drive and blah, 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 blah. You got to do it. Now, that's absolutely fallacious. And I think that needs to be reiterated, and it is a form of issue, that you can donate during this fund drive and receive certain premiums that you won't be able to receive if you donate any time, any day, any hour of the day during the year. In other words, you can become a member, you can donate. You may not be able to get certain premiums, but just because it happens to be an unfund drive doesn't mean you're limited to only that time to donate. And that has to be clearly given to every programmer and even the announcements that are made, which could be made. I didn't mean to say there couldn't be any commercials, but they could be just at the top of the hour for a certain amount of time, but not cutting off programs. It turns out that they even end programs abruptly to start the announcements at the top of the hour, and then to add in something they interrupt the programs with. So let's find a way to make the programming more conducive to people wanting to listen to, because it's different than the commercial stations. But the thing is, it must be clearly stated that though this is a formal unfund drive, you may donate any time, any way, any day, you know, in other words, it's on the website and blah, 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 blah. So that's what I wanted to make sure that that's very clearly stated. And again, we need a good compliance program director who works for us, the people, and not with his own agenda or some other agenda. So I think outreach is important by saying we have a unique station, who have a way for you to participate, and da 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 da. We can keep going. I mean, this has been a very good meeting because everybody has been able to express themselves and get out good ideas and are helping, and that's a very good way to outreach to show how we can work together to create a good station. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margot. We are at 1:20. And I would like to close shop And I see that, let me see who else is. Oh, Yipo, did you want to speak again? You did not lower your hand before we go.
No, I think I took some notes on what you said, and you will be disseminating some of the contents of the earlier conversation.
Oh, yes, the audio, sadly, the audio started late. Normally, I started early, but today we started late. So everything in the audio gets converted. I have to edit it to remove all the dead air. Then I submit it to Otis McClay, who is the webmaster for Pacifica.org, and he uploads it. I'm sure you heard me.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Also, I would like for you to go to KPFTX, kpftx.org. Okay, I had to mute Sue. Too much noise. So you go to kpftx.org, and please go to click on archive at the top of the page. And go down, scroll down to 11/20 of this year so that you can hear the town hall event that was held, the virtual town hall. That was the second for the year. Per the bylaws, we need to hold at least 2 town halls per year. And then I also would like for you, then you can, and you can download that audio. It's a very long audio. It's a very long meeting, town hall. Then in November, you can also go to 11/28. I believe there's an audio there as well, so that you can familiarize yourself with the topics discussed, the ideas, the proposals, et cetera. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Sue Cohen, before we go, your hand is up.
Yeah, just quickly, again, I can't hear you. The main thing people out in the real world always complain about KPFK complain is that they're not getting their thank you gifts that thank them for supporting the station, the show and the station. Bella, I see your mouth moving.
I'm not. Can you hear me?
Anyway, I can now. And now I can't. But if you do, well, Margot is correct, and we will certainly need money any and every time. If you could do your donating at the time of your favorite show, then it might get credited to your favorite show. And especially if you ask for the thank you gift associated with that show. And in membership department, they have more than they can do to send out everything that programmers promise over the air. And if everyone could pledge during the show all together in a bunch. See, every time a person, a human in membership department has to stop what they're doing of the big batches and do one thing and help one person who didn't get their gift, please do everything in big batches during the fund drive so that they can all be sent out, and they can have a group send of thank you gifts and get them all out. And the ones that fall into different times, those are the ones that don't get sent because they didn't get done in all together in a bit. It's a computer age. The computer can do it, or the humans may have to do it. And the computer can do a big batch. If a human has to stop and do it, it may not get done. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I hope you can hear me, but I want to address that. And I have spoken about this at length for a long time, is that we need to move away from offering expensive on-air premiums. This has, if you look at the financials I sent out this morning through September 30th, the last month of our fiscal year for 2021, which starts October 1st. If you look at those numbers, how much it costs us to send out premiums, it is extremely expensive. It does not help us. And when we get the reports from Allegiance, we do not get the cost of the premiums. So we have to change our entire structure, system. What is it that we offer on air? We have great wealth at Pacifica Radio Archives. We need to utilize that to then promote it as premiums. And that is easy for us to access. Many times premiums are offered and they're not even in the inventory of the vendor. And we pay vendors to send it directly to the consumer, meaning the donor. But we are not in the merchandising business. Our product is not merchandise. Our product is programming. Thank you. Okay, it is getting very, very late and is 1:28. Unless we can wrap it up in 2-3 minutes. Margo, I see your hand up. Margo?
Okay, I want you to make a comment about the idea that you have to call in every single time there's a program you like. Can you imagine the bookkeeping nightmare that would be that, yes, I want to donate X amount to this program, and I want to know X amount to another? Okay, it should be a way, if we're going to do it that way and judge the programs by how much money they raise, and the tally sheet should be kept of so-and-so called in and said they would donate to such a better program, and then at the end, okay, so-and-so, how much are you going to donate, which will be divided up between those programs and give them credit? So you could say, I'm going to donate $50 or $100, but I want it to be divided up between these of my favorite programs. But if I had to say, I'm going to call in to donate $20 to this or $25 to that, there'd be such a bookkeeping nightmare. So that's why it is unfair to say that each program has to be, you know, raising. That is the kind of thing I really did want to reiterate, is how unfair it is. We raise money for the station that's divided up among the programmers, and I agree that high-priced, expensive, non-KPF related things. And you can actually there's another discrepancy. Some programs have a thing where you send in $75 and you can get da-da-da. Others, you have to send in $150 and da-da-da, then you're going to get. So how can that be equated in the same sense of what money they raise? It is totally unfair the way to judge the programs by how much money they raise individually. It is just, there's something got to be changed. I think it was different and it was better last time. And I remember it was marathon. And one of the records that one of the programs gave was a funny program. It was, we're Haldeman Earlier than Mitchell and Dean. We're here to see that the White House stays green. And I somehow must have that record somewhere. But that was a specific thing done by a specific programmer. And it was a very unique premium. And, of course, everybody remembers. I heard something. I think someone told that. It was about the fair, the Renaissance Fair thing was started. And then they took it away from KPFK. But, you know, this has been somehow creative fundraising was one of the things that could be. And the programming is part of that. So thank you for this very well. Good meeting. That we got a lot of good ideas. If we focus on the product, which is the programming, we will make it much on the money raised. You know, it could all be for the good welfare. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you for bringing that last point up. It's very, very important. I agree with you. Very good. Along the line to what we're saying. Okay, we're going to be closing it down. Oyeyipo, do you have a last word? I see your hand up or not. Okay, so we are going to say good day.
Wait, I didn't know how to bring it back down. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't worry. So I'll tell you later. I think if you are on the phone, when you are on the computer, you simply go back to the reactions and it will say lower hand. So if you go to the reactions icon at the bottom of your screen, you will have the opportunity to lower your hand. You see it? There. Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Thank you, Yeyipo, so much. Everybody, for Margo, Sue, Michael Heiss, Bruce Grief, Jose Benavides. I know there were two other individuals that called in, but I asked them if they had wanted to participate. They just remained silent. Okay. So thank you very much for joining us. This has
You're welcome. Happy Boxing Day. Enjoy your sermon.
Okay, go out boxing. Go out boxing now, Margo. Thank you much.
Well, you know what it is? It's when the public servants and servants would get carry around the box and get money and gifts, and then with everybody, and even part of Saturnalia is when they. Servants would turn into the masters, and the masters would become the servants. So this is the time of year of a lot of good changes that people would do because it's based on the seasons, and it's nothing religious. It's when religion got into it that it became a sort of a negative thing. So celebrate all the different holidays of this winter season here, and if you get tired of the cold and the dark, look at things that are going on in the southern hemisphere where people with Santa Claus hats are on the beach because it's summer there. And I think that's the best thing we can do is celebrate all the holidays together. And they haven't been mentioning Kwanzaa on KPFK. Okay, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, the Kwanzaa holiday, I believe, is coming up in a few days.
I think it starts today. So I think they should be mentioning it a little more. I hope for programs will do that. Maybe after the show.
You just reminded me. There's an opportunity on Martin Luther King Day, parade in the Leimert Park in January for outreach. Also, there will be a women's march downtown LA. So those are great opportunities for outreaching as well. And we need to talk about that. I will send out more info on that. Okay, thank you.
We have to carry the banner in the parade during the Martin Luther King Day one a long time ago. We carried a banner, KPFK.
That is correct. Yeah. And we have been promised that this year is not going to be as commercialized as in the past. Because it has become commercialized and taken over by the military, the police, and all of this. And the DRO. Okay, so we want to say goodbye to everybody. Thank you. This has been the KPFK Outreach Committee meeting Sunday, December 26, 2021. Have a great year, a new year, and let's hope that the coming year brings abundance for everybody all around and peace on earth, love, goodwill to all mankind and animal kind. Please consider becoming a vegetarian. Please to stop the abuse of torture of animals and destruction of our seas, our lakes, our rivers. Thank you. Bye, everybody. This is Bella DeSoto.
As we know it, so would it be. Yay. We got to be pro-life and be against guns and wars and eating animals and stuff like that. That would be a true pro-life thing to do. Thank you. Yay.
Bye-bye, everybody. Okay.